Good afternoon and welcome to the Environmental Urbanist on 93.3 CFMU and online at cfmu.ca. I'm your host, Jason Allen. Super happy to be here. Thanks for joining me. Wild show today. So on and off for the last little bit, I've been talking about urban wildlife, and I will continue to do that over the next little while because I think it's a fascinating conversation about how creatures larger than insects and rodents contribute to our ecosystem. But a few weeks ago, you may recall, we talked about P22, the mountain lion that was living in Griffith Park in Los Angeles. And unfortunately, since then, if you've heard the update, he has met his untimely end, had to be put down due to a combination of illness and injury sustained while trying to cross the freeway. Very sad. But sometimes wildlife absolutely thrive in our cities. And today is a bit of a success story. My guest today is Mike Degu from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, where he lives near the South Saskatchewan River, where since the beginning of the pandemic, he has been daily photographing an adorable family of beavers that live in the river. And he joined me last week from his home in Saskatoon to discuss the beavers he's photographed, to discuss what he's learned along the way, and discuss how he ended up with 80,000 followers on Facebook. It's a lovely conversation. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. Mike, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Jason.
Thank you for coming. So tell me about how you discovered a family of beavers living in Saskatoon.
Well, it was kind of by accident. I always knew there were beavers in Saskatoon. We have a really beautiful set of walking trails, and I spent a lot of time walking by the rivers, and every once in a while I would see a beaver and I would be quite happy about it. But it sort of amped up into a hobby back in the first week of the pandemic. So I guess that would be March of 2020, when we were all in lockdown. My wife and I live in a bit of a small house, and I can be annoying. And she said, you know, you've got to find a way to leave the house because you're going to drive me crazy. So I went for a walk, and walking along the river, and it was eerie because there was nobody out. So it was a real different experience than normal.
Yeah.
And I saw a beaver, and because I had nothing else to do, I decided to follow it. And I followed it till dark, and at dark, it led me to a lodge along the river that I had never known existed, and there were beavers everywhere, swimming around in the dusk. And well, I was just tickled and thrilled, and I went home and told my wife about it and said, I'm going back tomorrow with a camera to look for them again. And seriously, I got hooked almost from the first day. I started going back every day looking for the beavers and following them around until it got too dark to see them. So it was a very happy accident. And now, of course, that I know they're there, I can't wait to go back and see them again.
What a fantastic story. Now, help me to situate this a little. I've been to Saskatoon once a couple of years ago, and I was for a transit event. I used to work for a transit organization, and I took the bus from the downtown terminal, crossed the bridge to Broadway. So that's sort of the area that sort of I know. So are these beavers sort of in that sort of vicinity of downtown?
100%. The beaver family I watch, I say live right in the heart of downtown. Their lodge is basically halfway between our two major downtown bridges, the Broadway Bridge that you went over and our University Bridge.
Wow.
And so they're literally in the heart of downtown. And beavers have territories. And so in a river like that, they can head out in either direction. So the family I watch, basically their territory goes right through downtown for about a kilometer and includes those two bridges. So it's really they really are an urban family. And then in Saskatoon, there's actually in our river about seven families of beavers. Every kilometer or so, a beaver family has a territory. But the family I watch is a lot more accessible because the trails are closer to where they live, and they're a little more used to being watched because of where they are. So I rarely go look for the other beaver families because they're just harder to get close to and to photograph and watch.
And I guess the beavers are kind of used to seeing you around by now.
Well, you know, they are and they aren't. I don't think beavers see very well. I think they judge danger more by smell. So I think they're used to my smell. So they're not too concerned if my unique bouquet of mosquito spray and BO is present in their habitat. So, but they really don't see very well. So if a person is sitting quietly and respectfully, if if you don't smell or sound in a way that seems dangerous, they tend to let you near. They're definitely used to human noises. And that's what makes this family a lot different than, you know, one you would encounter far from an urban area. So from where the beaver family I watch is, like we've said, there's two major traffic bridges that they're sitting near all the time. There's hospitals. They see, they hear sirens of ambulances, fire trucks, police cars. They don't blink an eye. They hear people chatting, walking on the trails 10 meters away. So human noises and the sounds of human things are just part of their white noise. So they're much less likely to react to that than a beaver you might encounter in a wild, distant setting.
In a pond somewhere that's just going to slap its tail and disappear into the water.
Right, right.
Yeah,
totally. These ones rarely slap their tails because of someone sitting and watching them. They'll slap their tails a lot if the wrong breed of dog stops and they smell the dog, or if someone moves towards them quickly. But otherwise, they have to be used to having people near because they've chosen this beautiful river valley that happens to be in the middle of a city.
Now, how many beavers are there in the family that you're watching?
Well, it's hard to say because they all look alike. So I can tell an adult from a two-year-old, from a one-year-old, from a baby, but I don't know if I'm looking at the same two-year-old that I looked at the day before. But beavers live in colonies of a family, which would the adults stay together for life. So there's an adult pair. And their children stay with them until the summer. After they've turned two, their instincts tell them to leave and find a mate and build their own home. So the family I watch would be the mom and dad. I think about 3 2-year-olds, about 3 1-year-olds, and then they had 3 kits this year. So I think there's around 8, 9, 10, but you never see them all at once.
You can't be sure.
And they look all the same. So I'm guessing 9 or 10.
That's cool. Now, you've watched them for a while now. What sort of things have you seen them getting up to?
Well, to be honest, most of the time I'm watching them, they're eating. Beavers are typically somewhat nocturnal. This beaver family isn't as nocturnal as most, but they still are mostly nocturnal. They come out a couple hours before dark and start their day. And when they wake up, they look for food. So I'm not sure what they're doing when I'm sleeping, but when I'm watching them, most of the time they're eating. So now we've all heard the busy as a beaver expression, and that's certainly true when beavers have to build their lodge or build a dam or repair those things. They work, 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 work. But if they've already got a lodge built and they've already got a habitat and don't need to work on a dam, they actually can spend a lot of time just eating and hanging out. So usually when I'm watching them eat. So I follow them each evening, depending on which direction they head out from their lodge, because their territory goes in both sides, depending on which bank of the river they're on. I try to go ahead of where I expect them to stop to eat because they have their favorite places. And I just sit down and wait. Usually the first beaver to come along is an adult, and he finds a big branch and heads back to the water's edge to eat it. And often when the next few beavers come along, they stop and eat with them. So, I would say, like me, most of the time they're eating. So
now there must be like mainly aspen trees, I would guess, down along the river.
Around where I am, their favorites are cottonwood. There's a lot of cottonwood, poplar, willow, and aspen. Yeah, those would be the main four. There's actually a lady that works at the University of Saskatchewan, Dr. Sherry Westbrook, who last year put out a really interesting study she had done that looked at all the different types of foods that, and she compared the beavers that live in Saskatoon from the ones that live near but outside of Saskatoon, and looked at the types of trees they have and how far they'd leave from the water to eat.
Yeah.
And a lot of that information is helpful so that, you know, urban planners know what types of trees beavers will eat and won't, or more likely to. So you can try to create a tree canopy that is a mix of both. But yeah, cottonwood was the one they've eaten the most in Saskatoon. I assume partly because there's an abundance of it. So
yeah,
they have their favorite types of trees, but their favorite types of trees are ones that are present so that they can eat. So, but certainly poplar, aspen, willow, and cottonwood, I think, are generally considered their favorite foods.
Now, on that note, have you seen like a pretty big impact to the river valley from those beavers? Are they making sort of big changes to the landscape?
Well, they definitely take a lot of trees. A typical beaver, I think, and I have to say, Jason, I am not a beaver expert. Everything I know about beavers is because I see something and then I go home and Google to figure out what it was I saw.
That's fantastic. That's citizen science at its finest.
Yeah, or just as common, because I hang around the river so much, people stop and ask me a question about the beavers. And if I don't know it, it bugs me. So I go home and Google it. So with our river valley, I think a typical adult beaver can take anywhere from 100 to 200 trees a year, depending on the size of the trees. Well, that's a lot of trees to disappear from the tree canopy. So a lot of trees disappear. But of course, at the same time, forests regenerate when a tree comes down. It makes room for light on the forest floor. So when you think about Saskatoon, well, there has been a city here for 100 years, and there have been beavers here for centuries. There's still plenty of trees for them to eat. So although they take trees, other trees grow back. So some people get very concerned, especially a homeowner that lives near the river, if they if they plant an apple tree and it disappears, that doesn't make them very happy. So part of the achieving that balance is identifying trees that are really important to the aesthetics or cost a lot of money to put in place and protect those trees. But you know, the tree canopy along the river in the river valley, they take a lot of trees, but trees grow back. So that's a big impact. It's just when trees disappear, some people are bothered by which tree disappears. But the types of impacts you would see in other places, we don't see in the river, because one of the big impacts a beaver can have, of course, is they can dam water and create water where there wasn't water before. But a beaver that lives in a large river from like the South Saskatchewan River couldn't, even if they wanted to, dam the river. So they haven't changed the flow of water in any way. So it doesn't have that type of impact.
Now, beavers need just a certain height of water level to be able to have their lodge successfully, right?
Yeah, that's right. So they have underwater entrances to their lodges for safety so that predators can't follow them. And then, of course, Saskatchewan is a cold climate. So in the winter, it freezes. Maybe some of your listeners maybe don't know that beavers don't hibernate. You know, a lot of people in Canada, they'll be, oh, there's a beaver pond on the grid road where I drive into town. And then all of a sudden in winter, it's frozen over and people assume the beavers hibernate, but they don't have that physiological capability to go dormant like some animals do. So they have to wake up every day, eat, groom, swim, socialize. So in the fall, the beavers spend a lot of time building up a food cache, and they start sticking yummy branches into the sand next to their lodge. And then they just keep building it up until they have enough for winter. So in cold habitats where it freezes, they have to make sure the water is deep enough that it doesn't freeze all the way so they can access their food. I do see them in the pond or the river, scooping mud from the bottom, you know, in the fall, just making sure it's deep enough. In warmer areas where it doesn't freeze, the depth just has to be deep enough you can get in and out of your lodge. And in colder climates, it has to be deep enough so that you can access your food during the winter, because you're under the ice for, you know, 2-3 months.
Yeah, no kidding. You talked about the trees and the tree canopy in Saskatoon. I know a lot of cities on the prairies, I know Winnipeg right now is struggling with this in a huge way in terms of their tree canopy and what's happening with Dutch elm disease and things like that. I don't know if Saskatoon is going through the same discussions, but have there been people, you know, saying, you know, let's get these beavers out of here because they're ruining our city? Has it been any of that?
100%. I doubt that a month goes by with anybody who's involved from a governmental perspective without someone complaining about the trees and the beavers. One of the beaver families I've followed had a pond right by the university, and they took down a lot of trees. And there were people, including some people at the university, who were unhappy about that. So here in Saskatoon, though, what's interesting, and it's probably different from a lot of urban centers, is we have a not-for-profit corporation called Meawassan Valley Authority, and they have the mandate to manage the river valley and to preserve nature and wildlife while enhancing human uses, and they achieve that balance. So Meawassan actually has experts who monitor the tree canopy. They take steps. For example, Meawassan Valley Authority will have volunteer nights where people can go wrap trees that Meawassan has identified need to be protected, while at the same time, leaving a lot of the tree canopy for the beavers to eat. So they're working on this balance. On a broader scale, they're working on the balance between a city of 300,000 people and a beautiful oasis of nature and wildlife that is in a river valley. And they do a great job. And I think they're quite a model for other centers. In
Yeah, that.
fact, in fact, they have been identified. The Parks Canada is looking at creating a network of urban national parks, because right now all national parks are non-urban. And Meawassan is one of the places that's been identified to create an urban park. And so they're working in conjunction with Park Canada to figure out how all that's going to work and how that's going to look. But the general idea is just like a national park in the mountains, you're looking at preserving the beauty of nature and the critters and birds in it, while at the same time allowing or finding out ways for humans to enjoy that in a non-destructive way. And we have that already in Saskatoon. They've really developed our network of trails, and the development of riverfront buildings and stuff in such a way that the beauty of the riverbank is preserved. There's a lot of access with beautiful trails, but at the same time, our trees and our critters have room to live and enjoy. So it's really quite a remarkable aspect of Saskatoon is the whole Meawassan Valley network and our river valley.
What a wonderful story. You folks seem to be doing a lot of right things right there in the so-called Paris of the Prairies. I don't know if you know this, but you actually have one of the three best run small transit agencies in the country. You, Halifax, and St. Catharines, for my money, are like the three best run transit agencies for a city your size in the country. It's amazing. So,
I didn't know that. It
yeah.
wouldn't surprise anybody to know that people typically complain more than they praise. So whether I'm on Reddit or on the street, you're more likely to hear someone complain about the problem they had with transit than how well it worked. But yeah, I know, I think you're right. I think for a city our size, we do a lot of things right.
You do. It's fantastic. Now, talking about Meawassan Valley, am I saying that right? Meawassan Valley?
Yes.
And talking about sort of what do you think that river valley and having wildlife like beavers, what do you think it adds to your city? What do you think it does for you folks?
Well, for me personally, it's just this wonderful place, 5 minutes from home, where I can be in nature. And I think that provides that exact same benefit to us as a global community here in Saskatoon. Everyone here who wants to be outdoors, to hear birds, to walk in the forest, to see the water flowing by with geese and ducks. Meawassan Valley and its network of trails probably isn't more than 6 or 7 minutes from any spot in Saskatoon. So it really helps with, I think, the mental health of the community as a whole, but also with community building. Like before I became a beaver obsessed addict, I still spend a lot of time on the trails, just walking or sitting, and you meet people, you chat with people. It's a place where families come together and friends go for walks. You see people flying kites and throwing frisbees and having picnics. So this wonderful network of trails and benches and lookout spots, I think just adds a wonderful aspect to our mental health as a community, and but also beauty, right? Because a river is a naturally beautiful thing, and there are people who say, oh, what a shame. There's a skyscraper on the edge of that river. But the dichotomy between nature and urbanness, it can be beautiful too. An interesting architecture of a bridge over a flowing river, whether it's blue in the summer or white in the winter, can be quite beautiful, right?
Yeah.
And so there's lots of places in our river valley where the way it's been designed by Miwasan over the last 50 years or however long they've been doing it, you can go and enjoy that beauty while still being in an urban environment. So yeah, it adds to beauty and mental health. And to me, those are really the keys. And then of course, if you're someone who likes cycling, walking, jogging, the trails they've created are very busy for those. I talk to a lot of people who come from out of town, you know, and they might stay in a hotel right along the river. And they're like, this is incredible. I walked out of my hotel room and I can jog along a beautiful river trail. And there's a 10-kilometer loop right outside my door. And so with our network of bridges, you mentioned earlier Saskatoon as the Paris of the prairies, and that's certainly one of its two key nicknames. The other one is the City of Bridges.
Nice.
So I've never counted, but we have 7, 8, 9 bridges that span the river. And so for people who like walking or biking or jogging, you can find a loop on these river trails of virtually any distance. You just decide which river or which bridge do I cross.
Yeah.
And so people have mapped out all the various ones. And as you're jogging some places through the forest, some places through the prairie, but always with a view of this beautiful river valley. So yeah, it's quintessential to the Saskatoon experience to be out in the river valley and on the trails.
That's fantastic. Now let's talk a sec about your Facebook page.
Okay.
You have like 77,000 followers on this page. And you're just taking photos of beavers. Like, how did that come about?
Yeah, it's crazy, Jason. When I started taking pictures of beavers, so back in March of 2020, I was so excited. And every day I would go home and on my personal Facebook page, I would put my favorite beaver photos from the evening. And, you know, it was cute at first, but after a month or two, I had the odd friend or family say, God, enough of the beavers already. What's, you know? But then I'd also have family and friends saying, oh, I love your beaver pictures. This is so great. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to create a spot where I just post beaver photos. And that way people who want to see them can go there. And people who would rather, you know, see my dumb jokes on Facebook can see that on my personal page. So, so I created this I'm not the most creative person in the world, so I named it Mike's Photos and Videos of Beavers. So
it's fantastic. Exactly what it says on the tin.
It's exactly what you get. You get what you came for. And so pretty much every day for, I don't know, 2.5 years, I've been posting photos and videos. And slowly, you know, if other beaver fans out there see something, they'll share it. And they might have friends who like beavers. And just it just gradually grew from 100 people to now tens of thousands.
Yeah.
And you know what? That makes me so happy. You don't get money for people looking at your Facebook page.
No.
What I get is the enjoyment of knowing that this experience I'm having and this little photo or video I'm creating is bringing joy and putting smiles on people's faces all around the world. And I get notes, Jason, not a single day goes by that I don't hear from at least one person saying, I love your beaver videos. I was sad about this or that, fill in the blank. Someone's in the hospital. Somebody's sick, got fired. Looking at your video gave me a smile today when I needed it. Sorry, awesome. I'm choking up a little because
that's amazing.
One of the ones that struck me the most was when the invasion in Ukraine first started. I got a message from someone in Ukraine saying we're in hiding, but we get a smile every day looking at your photos and videos.
Wow.
So anyways,
what an incredible story.
And the other one that I really loved was a local couple who I didn't know sent me a note saying we were in the university hospital, which I mean, you could see the beaver pond out the window from there.
Yeah.
And I can't remember exactly what problem their newborn child was going through. But they said our hours of silence and sadness we could fill by looking at your videos, and it made us happy at times we were having trouble finding things to smile about. So
wow.
Anyways, I do love that lots of people out there get to enjoy them. I especially love when knowing that some children are getting to see beavers doing cute things. But most importantly, when someone gets that type of benefit from my silly little beaver hobby, that makes me really happy. So I'm tickled that so many people eventually found my page, because, you know, I had my first loyal 1,000 followers have been with me from the start, but it took a long time before it grew to the type of numbers it has now. So.
Well, you're definitely doing fantastic work, both in cheering people up and in educating people about the importance of urban wildlife. So thank you for that.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much for joining me, Mike. I really appreciate it. It was great talking to you today.
Thanks for having me. I always love talking about beavers, and it was really great to get to chat with you today.
Huge thanks to Mike DeGue for coming on the show and talking about that wonderful and charming family of beavers. If you are on Facebook and you are not following Mike's photos and videos of beavers, it's a very simple search on Facebook. Mike's is an apostrophe. It's a delightful shot of joy and wonder and cuteness pretty much every day. It's definitely worth your time to check out. If you are one of Mike's gajillion or so followers who joined me for the first time, welcome. I do this every week, every Tuesday afternoon, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, on 93.3 FM in Southern Ontario and on CFMU.ca around the world. And I also podcast this after the fact on Buzzsprout and Spotify and all those other good places. So thanks for coming and checking me out. I talk every week about cities and climate change, but my favorite topic is cities and biodiversity and what we do to make cities a haven of biodiversity as the areas around us become less and less diverse. So that's me. You can check out more at environmentalurbanist.ca for more information and for links to all the other good stuff that I do. That said, thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you for coming along and listening to the stories. And my name is Jason Allen. This has been the Environmental Urbanist on 93.3 CFMU. We're going to go out with a little Born in McLeod because I want to sing a little. I want to listen to prairie music. I grew up in Alberta, which is on the prairies, but kind of in the foothills, where I grew up in Calgary. And this band, Born in McLeod, were really meaningful to me in the 90s when I was in my 20s. And this is a song about one of the greatest animals the prairies ever held. This is Old Buffalo from Born in McLeod. Thanks. Have a great week. Talk to you next week.
Yellow flowers in the sunny blue, meadow like you sing a song. Peace in the air, love everywhere, to us such a place belongs. We look all around the world, easy go the days. I'm talking about a future of happiness, where man and animals play. There is a lonesome old buffalo roaming on the plains all alone. He does not have anybody, he doesn't even have a home. He stands quiet in the morning sun, his shaggy head is hanging low. Oh, but his dreams fly high as the sky, all right, and he'd join them by and by. Where do you think we are going? Where do you think this will lead? What are the things worth knowing that will satisfy our every need? Well, I stood upon the mountaintop, saw the river running.